Well, the, unfortunately,
except for the other job, that's what I mean, except for the other capacity. Oh, I know, of course.
So, Jim Carter, last night, I talked with your boys about spring dinner.
Oh, were you in New York?
Yes, in New York.
And Jim Carter was there. At the University Club?
Yes.
Yeah, this is a nice affair.
It was a nice, very nice affair.
Yeah, I'm glad you went up.
Mr. President, we got a, right, serious problem over there in our wage negotiations.
Oh, boy. This is for next time.
Well, we've been bargaining for about 90 days or more. And, we haven't, actually haven't been bargaining. They have made wage demands, or demands that will cost us about $11 million. Obviously, it's something we can't afford, and we have not made a wage offer.
Except those diplomatic things, back 10 minutes of call time, when I said the ambassador's.
Principal trust that we have as far as these negotiations are concerned is to get back for the postal management, the right to manage, which has been given away in the last 6 or 8 years by the previous people. And to get it back is going to cost money. That's the only way you get back the right to manage once you give it away. We don't know where we're going to come out of these negotiations. But it could well be, because of our trying to get back the right to manage, that the cost to us as far as the wage increase is concerned will be something more than the rest of the government might be prepared to pay. And the only reason we would do that is because we get in return the right to manage, which we think would enable us to bring about productivity improvements that would have something to do with reducing the cost impact. Just let me use a quick example. 5, 6, or 8 years ago, whenever it was, they gave to the unions an agreement procedure of this, a rule that if you have a problem with a man, you can't get him off the floor for a minimum of 36 days. Usually lasts longer than that. In other words, if this guy's a bad actor, won't you just slow down? You can't discipline him. He's there like a bad apple in a barrel, poisoning everybody around him for all the times you go through these procedures. This is one basic right to manage how you handle grievances and how you're able to discipline people that has destroyed our ability really to manage over there. This is just one example of the kind of thing we're talking about management right. Technology improvements. We've got to have the freedom to put in technology improvements. All of these kind of things might cause us to end up with a wage increase that would be distorted as far as the rest of government is concerned, and might well cause some pressures as far as the rest of the government employees. We had that last year, as you know, when we bargained for their support on the postal reform bill. We got something, although we gave them something extra. We don't expect to give them anything extra now unless we get something in return, but I thought principally it would be something to be aware of. George,
he's going to be.
And then we've been keeping his
people. George's got to be informed. The real question, of course, is what we can have to decide the numbers, how much you...
Well, that would just cause us to go back for a rate increase under this new setup.
Yeah. What kind of numbers are you talking about there in terms of the wage increase? Percentage increase?
George, at this point in time, we don't have anything that we can talk about. As I say, they've asked for more than 100% increase. So we haven't even made an offer at all.
More than 100%.
$11 billion.
We have a somewhat better position than last year because of the legislation that you proposed and that did get passed. It covers the classified civil service. It sets a procedure whereby a study is made of comparability, and then on the basis of that study, you state what the results of that are and their implications for the wage change, and unless Congress vetoes it within a period of time, I believe it's 60 days, it goes into effect automatically, and thereby Congress is kind of taken out of it. Last year we had to pay bills in Congress simultaneously, and the unions were playing both these things together. This year the procedure is, in a sense, locked in. That doesn't mean that people couldn't strike and raise hell. There is a locked procedure that is in place. And
but that's for government employees other than postal employees.
Right, right.
That's what I'm talking about in our negotiations. If, for instance, we end up with, say, a 10% wage increase, and your studies indicate only a 6% increase for the other government employees, that would be the natural pressure to match that 10%. But of course, the reason we have gone for the 10%, if that's what it happened to be, is because we've got something in return in our negotiations that will enable us to increase our productivity to reduce the net cost, or the effective cost. We have the opportunity to do with the rest of the government employees. That's the point that I really thought there ought to be, just you ought to be aware of, with the big dollars and no negotiations in the country that have been
when
had this kind of science.
What's this time that all this comes from?
We started on January 20th, and we argued up until April the 20th. We met with them up from then. And then they invoked the fact-finding procedure, which is now going on. They have another 90 days from July the 20th, in which if we are not able to reach agreement, we then go to arbitration. How long arbitration would take, we don't know. There's no decision point. There really is just to make you aware of how important this is and
what makes it the case.
And Monday morning quarterbacking is an easy thing for everybody to do, you know, once you make these decisions. I'm not talking about Monday morning quarterbacking here, but I'm talking about the rest of the government.
Sure.
I want you to be aware that actually this is the Postal Service doing this, and nevertheless it has its impact on the other government employees. And another matter that, unless you want to discuss that in much
detail, is there anything that nothing really to do to say at this point except to urge you to do your best, as I'm sure you will, to keep it in balance?
Well, those that say we are too tough in that regard. We're not going to try to give anything away, but
sure, I know that.
We do think when we, if we ever get in a position to make a deal with that we are going to have to pay something. That's something more than we would ordinarily pay under the Comparability Act. But I think that that is a good plan. It's just essential to make this thing work. Is that anything you said?
Any other feelings on Joe? You just raised it.
Well, I wanted you to know what was going on. I think this ability to manage is a very important ingredient, and it certainly has its parallel in something that we hope we can get the Productivity Commission thinking about, and that's what's known as productivity bargaining in the private sector, which sort of similar, but here is some practice that's very costly and is unnecessary as far as management is concerned. We'll pay a penny an hour in order to get rid of the practice, that sort of business. It has its pluses and minuses as a procedure, but it's worked reasonably well in some cases. The minus to it, I might say, Red, is that if you do it very often, it gives people the idea that a bad practice is a very good thing because you can sell it. And it creates a psychology. That's
Joe, the problem is the unions learned that a long time ago. And some other people need to be wake up and realize that is a full point. so that organizational changes are going to be a lot of squealing from the members of Congress about taking regions out of their areas. We'll do the best we can to deal with that problem. But you'll hear about it. And we think the far more effective way to go about organizing the push-ups. I won't go into the details of it. I really just wanted to make you aware that we were headed in that direction. And if you have any comments about it, this is going to involve a reduction in force both at the headquarters and the regional level of the post office. They've never had a reduction in force in the postal service before, so they're not used to it.
Of course,
these things cause more difficulty than when they are used to it.
I know. On this one, it's a tough one. However, it's like closing the head, closing those bases. Here's a hell of a follow-up.
he's sitting out there in Texas. Of course, we can't get him because he's had a little white problem and a few other things. But Bernie Schreiber's a genius, really, in the whole field of missile technology. But he's the guy that should be running the space program. He's a great salesman and the rest. He's a flyboy. But boy, that's the kind of guy. You just remember, there's a hell of a lot of guys out there. Like I said this morning, this business of, and it's an entirely unrelated field. This guy is shocked at these damn companies that are refusing to hire veterans because they think they might engage in a process.
Mr. President, I've got, I don't believe that.
Throw in Michigan, Wisconsin, and
other terms, Red. It'd be good to have a two-man race this time in this country. Have a two-man race so that whoever's elected president gets the majority of the votes. They don't talk about this minority president nonsense. It also is important, although we know everybody's been a minority president, Kennedy was, then when he was elected, Truman was, Eisenhower was not a country. But nevertheless, of course, Lincoln was. Nevertheless, it's good to have a two-man race, and it's also good to have a two-man race for another reason, the Congress. I think with Wallace in, that really gives us a hell of a time at the Congressional. The third reason it's good to have a two-man race is that with Wallace in, it forces us to move too much in his direction, you see, in order to pick up his votes, right? Whereas, otherwise, we could stay right in the center. You know, after all, nobody's going to be to the right of us on the Democratic side. He's not going to be to the left of us. See my point? And rather than be fooled way over here, then there is. So those are the arguments. I never talked to George Wallace in my life, except at social events, but he just shake his hand. But I think that's my view. So you might talk to John Mitchell, but continue the dialogue. But yet, you really think he meant it?
Well, I really think he meant it, but he's losing ground badly.
Is he?
Within the sound of the polls, he barely won. He barely won in Alabama.
Yeah.
The legislature, for the first time, is about to repudiate his whole program that he's put forth. And all of these things are very indicative, I think.
That maybe he doesn't have the stroke.
I think that he doesn't have it in Alabama, unless there's any possibility of having it in Georgia or Louisiana or other places. So,
I bring that to you, John, because I appreciate it very much. I'm sorry.
Now, one other thing is that you have been talking about, there's been talk about you going to Alabama.
Yeah.
One of the recent reasons. I have been in Washington for 2 years non-politically. I've begun to think a little bit seriously as to whether or not what I might do in 1970.
I understand. Yeah.
So I would have an interest in it.
But you think it's a good idea to go, don't you? Sure. Oh, well, I have to go because I've never been. It's the only state I have.
Part of the problem, though, I don't know what you would do about Sparta, who, of course, is the incumbent senator.
You might waste a mess of the NASDAQ. Maybe come from Florida or something like that. Anyways. But he'd probably have to show. Because if I come to Alabama, they'll all show. We'll also be there too.
Won't he? They do. If you,
well, there's another event. They want to come to the 200th anniversary or 100th anniversary of Birmingham too. That's another big event. That's fall. That's in the fall. That's fair.
It will be. The problem is, there's a bad actor involved in
it. Yeah, the Medal of Honor man.
Howard Stevens. He's a Wallace man. He asked Tom Laura and me to be co-chairman of that.
And Tom
called me, and I told him I wasn't going to. I wanted the
Wallace man
to turn it down because of Howard Stevens. He's just a bad actor. He's just about to be indicted, incidentally, on a grand jury down there.
Oh, boy. So, I just met him. He came with that group. We kept him. In the group always. You get a picture of the group, nobody knows who's in it. You've known him for some years.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah. We have been close touch with you, Red, on that, naturally. Whoever else knows, why you'd be there at the right hand. if you want to be. I don't know if that helps in Alabama or not.
Well, I think it
will. We will be at the
yeah.
Oh. They'll appreciate coming.
I think you would damn near win in Alabama with George Wallace running.
I think you probably would win
with George Wallace.
They're great people, By golly, they're our, three people like Bear and Ryan and the rest. They're my kind of folks. And I think they know that. Hell, Muskie, Kennedy, Hubert, they can't talk the language of those people. I can. Really true. Don't you agree?
Well, I don't have a question, John. We're going to have to do some polling down there.
Right, wait, it's summer. Too early for it. Well, maybe it's summer, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I was talking about in relation to my own
Senate race. I know. Seven months.
New York, it means nothing. New York, the George Bush made a beautiful speech, and it's only carried to New York. So I